848, we're up to, okay, now it's okay, I'm home. Okay, good. We're on page 848. Pasuk Zion says in the Malbim, page 848, the Ace Erev. In this time, there's not going to be a regular Seder Hayom. The day is not going to be divided into three parts, into only two parts. There's morning, there's evening, and there is an ace Erev. Boiker Tzar, morning, afternoon, and a time of evening. So what he's saying over here is something very interesting, that lo yom v'lo laila. Okay, now let's see what he says. It's not going to be regular Seder Hayom of morning, afternoon, evening. That's only when the sun, the moon operate in a normal way. The day will be entirely day. For 24 hours, there will be light in the sky. It will be like you're living on the North Pole, on the South Pole for half a year. And this light will be known that it's to Hashem. Maybe slower to drop, because it will be known to Hashem. Maybe a new battery. You have maybe a new battery for this thing?
What?
Is there a new battery, maybe? Do you have a new battery for this?
He started to change it, but he...
Oh, he left. All right.
He didn't know, right?
It's going to count out, probably. All right, so it's going to be... It's going to be loy. There's not going to be on this day the regular light. Lo yom lo laila shushmoys yom laila yikru mitzad. The names of day and night are called mitzad. We turn over here to the. It continues on page 851. Thank you very much, Mr. Cohn. You're a real lifesaver here. If not for you, I don't know what we would do. Our technology man. Okay, we're on page over here, 851. Ha'aras hayom hagashmish yitztiku olav shemos yom v'layla. The Malmul here is understanding this pasuk in a very mystical way, that this time, at the end of days, there's not going to be a regular Seder Hayom, like we have today, where the sun rises, sun sets, it's afternoon, evening. The entire sequence of the day is not going to exist. But instead, the Hayol is Erviyye or Shashemesh Hagashmi to Erav, the physical sun will set, the Tishka, the Ozyaskil Ha'or Ho'ikari. Then will begin a new light, lecha'ir shu or Hashem, a revelation of the or of Hashem. V'hi melitza nifla sheyispatel. This is just a metaphor. Sheyispatel ha'he ora the Hashem ayotzim yes hamoyos. The influence that comes from the heavenly bodies. This will cease to exist. And it will now come the influence from Hashem. There will no longer be darkness and trouble. The end of the Shefa, the influence that causes man to make mistakes. Goes up and down and causes changes in the world. He's thinking of an enormous number of things. First of all, think of it, let's go one step and review in words the basic idea of what he's saying. At a certain point in time in this world, the heavenly bodies are not going to be the same. Today we have sunrise, sunset, we have midday, we have dawn, chatzos. That's going to cease to exist. There is going to be light the entire day. Okay, but then he goes on to say something which appears to contradict what he just said, and that is that when the sun will set, the sun first is going to set, And with the setting of the sun, parallel to the setting of the sun, will come forth a different light. There will be a different source of light. And this light is not going to be a physical light, it's going to be a spiritual light that is not going to lead man astray. So he's now introducing in this part of the Malbim a whole new idea that tells us the reason why today we have in this world religions, philosophies, ideologies that are wicked and are crooked is because of the heavenly bodies. That's what he says. He says that these things, the Shemesh and the Areach, to a degree, are causing man, are influencing man the wrong way. And why should that possibly be? Why should it possibly be that these things are influencing man the wrong way? Now, obviously, the pagans back in the olden days, they would actually worship the sun, worship the moon. They believed that if the sun provides energy, it must be that the sun is the source of life, the source of blessing, and they worship the sun, and then they worship the moon, and they worship the stars. And on a very simple level, the fact that there does exist in this world these bodies in the heaven, and man has been unable to appreciate that they themselves are creations of Hashem here in this world to provide us with benefit. Man, due to his limitation in understanding, has made a mistake, has been misguided, been misled to believe that Hashem is not present, and these heavenly bodies are the ones who make decisions, are the ones who bring us blessing, bring us good, and mankind has worshipped these bodies. This will cease to exist in the times of Mashiach. No one's going to come any longer to have any faith in these heavenly bodies. They will set. There will no longer be or yoim v'layla. All of these things, and v'hoya le'esev, the way the Malbim understands the pasuk, there will come a point in time when it will set, and they will set for good. They will just disappear from the world stage, and now the only light that will exist will be a spiritual light. I want to suggest to you an idea that's probably totally wrong, but maybe there's a kernel of truth which will give us a little bit of an explanation over here in this passage. When you invest, if you take a child that's pure and innocent and doesn't know from anything, and you brainwash him as a child, the child's mind is wet cement, and you take this child and you brainwash him to be evil, to do averos, you brainwash him with,
like they're trying to do today.
Exactly. You brainwash him with crazy ideas, and it's sustained. Your education, your evil education, is sustained until this child reaches maturity, and then you send them off into the world. What is he going to do? This adult, he's going to destroy the world. He's going to try to implement all of the crazy ideas that have been put into his pure mind. He's been ruined. So I want to suggest to you that in ancient times, just like we human beings are children, we start out as children and we're vulnerable. Okay, it's not for nothing that children are protected, extremely sheltered and protected, and little by little are exposed to the world under the guidance of responsible people in order to develop in a healthy way. Just like we human beings start out innocent but are very vulnerable, the heavenly bodies are the same. And look at it, I'm telling you some like real mystical, Kabbalistic type of stuff. Go back to the beginning of this world. Go back to my Bereishis. The Shemesh and the Areach are living creatures. They're living organisms. They have a neshama. This is already a chazal. Every blade of grass has a neshama. Not as sophisticated as a human being. A human being obviously is the ultimate of sophistication. But every life form in this world, has a spiritual counterpart. And when that spiritual entity is young and in its infancy, it's vulnerable to harm. In the beginning of this world, when Hashem created this world, the Shemesh and the Areach, they may have been the same. Okay, they may look the same the way they look today. Nothing has changed. But their spiritual counterpart was immature, was undeveloped. And mankind, in the beginning of creation, worshipped the Shemesh and the Areach. That's a fact. There was something called Avodah Zarah. And it says in Chumash again and again and again, don't worship the sun, don't worship the moon, like all of the Umay Sa'ilam, don't bow down to them. The Aseres HaDibros. Okay, don't bow down to all of the heavenly bodies. So we didn't do it. We were told we should, whatever we did, but the world did it. When the world went and worshipped these heavenly bodies were damaged. If you tell a person, a child, that you're God, this is what happened to Yoash. If you tell a person that you're God, they come to believe that they're God. Like I told you, you take a child who's innocent and pure, you indoctrinate, you brainwash him with crazy ideas, he's going to believe you. And then when he gets older, becomes mature, and is released to society, he's a danger to society. Because all of the nonsense that you've brainwashed him is now, he's going to try to influence other people and spread the wealth and spread his crazy ideas to the entire world. The Shemesh and the Areach have been hijacked. In the beginning of this world, from the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis until Klal Yisrael came on the scene, the world worshipped the sun. The world worshipped the moon. The world worshipped the stars. Every physical entity, every physical life force in this world has a spiritual counterpart. And the world, there was this big world. There are billions of people in this world. What was the world population back in ancient times? I don't know, but there was a big, big world out there, and they worshipped the sun, the moon, and the stars. That affected them. That had a very big effect on them. Now, what happened? The world has matured. The world now is a mature adult, because now we're holding 5, 7, 8, 1. It's like the world, you say, first, the world is 75 years old. Okay, if the lifespan of a person is 120, let's say, today a person lives, let's say, we'll be realistic, 95 years old, right? Everyone can expect here to live at least 95 years old. How old is the world? I don't know, 75 years old, right? How old is the world? 80 years old. The world is a mature adult, but this world is poisoned. The Shemesh and the Areach have been poisoned. Because when the Shemesh and the Areach, the world was 5 years old, they said to the sun, "You're the God, you're God, you're God, you're God," again and again and again. Billions of people kept on brainwashing the Shemesh and the Areach and the stars gave it a crazy education. It would make the public school education look like saints compared to what the education that the sun, the moon was given back when it was immature, when it was vulnerable. A child's mind is wet cement. Now, when the world has reached its maturity, it's been released from its shelter, from its, you know, all the guardians. And now it's influencing us. This is more of a Kabbalistic approach. When the sun shines today, the rays of the sun that are coming upon us, in those physical rays, are a spiritual counterpart. This is Kabbalistic stuff, I know, is a spiritual counterpart of apikorsis. Because what you put in is what you get out. Just like everyone will acknowledge, if you take a child and you put him in kindergarten and you teach him crazy, crazy things, you brainwash him for 10, 20 years, and then you say, okay, get out of here, go get a job, go become a politician, go become a president of the United States, You can only begin to imagine the damage that this child will do to the world. Well, that's exactly what the sun, the moon, and the stars are doing. The sun, the moon, and the stars are creatures of Hashem. They were children of Hashem. And the world educated the Shemesh, the Yireach, and the Kochavim. And the education the world gave the Shemesh, Yireach, and Kochavim in the year 1000, 2000, 3000, 4000 was apikursis. And then the world said to the Shemesh, Yireach, and Kochavim, you know, I think you should get a job. Why don't you become a politician? Why don't you get involved in making policy, education, security, work for the government, make decisions that affect everyone's lives? And they're here. Oh, here they are. Today, when the sun rises, what is the sun giving out? The sun is giving out what we put into it. And what did the world put into the Shemesh and the Reach? It gave it an education of apikursis. So what do you expect? The world today is just getting back what the world put in. So the Pasuk here says there's going to come a point in time when Hashem is going to retire the Shemesh, the Reach, the Kochavim, the Mazolois. Hashem is going to retire them. Why don't you go, and here's a pension, why don't you go, you know, we open up a Chabad house on Mars. Go there, leave the earth to someone else. And then Hashem himself will come, and the only influence in this world will be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be Hashem. The Hoya, this pasuk says, "Yoyim Echad, who yivodel Hashem, lo yoyim v'lo laila." The heavenly bodies will be retired. You know what that means? It means the poison. What you're saying is the poison that the Shemesh and the Areach are giving to us will stop. They have evil influence upon us. The Hoyle is every year, or it's only going to be the Or of Hashem. This is something which I'm trying to read into the words of the Malbim. I want to read the words one more time over here to put in this idea. Go back to the Malbim. The Malbim, let's start even from the middle. Read the Malbim again. Might as well read the Malbim again. Page 848. Read the Malbim one time very quickly. There was damage done
to the Shemesh Yireach V'Kochavim
back in the day, in the beginning of creation, because this Chazal say every living creature in this world has a spiritual component. And that spiritual component is just like every child. When a person is young, they're vulnerable, they can be molded, they can be affected, and that solidifies, and that becomes a person's ideology for in his adulthood. The same thing is true for the Shemesh and the Yireach and for the Kochavim. They today have a degree of influence over us. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. It's more Kabbalistic. Is there any physical element in this? Maybe. Let's see how the Malbim. The Malbim over here is saying something along these lines. And the words are, V'hoya on page 848, V'hoya Yom Echad, V'hoya Yom Echad, again, the Malbim, V'er Ha'inyan, page 848, V'hoya Yom Echad, Lo Yiyah Hayom Cholok Liyom V'layla. At this point in time, the day is not going to be divided today and tonight. L'Bogim V'tzarayim V'eserv. We're not going to have the regular Seder Hayoim. We're not going to have the whole order. Shazer Rak V'es Sheyisham Shu Hamo'eres HaGashmiyim. That's only when the world operates in an ordinary way. Avol Oz Yiyah Yom Echad Biduba Kulo Yom. Okay, first he says it's going to be a day that 24/7 there will be light, illumination, no darkness. So now what do you mean? What are you talking about? But how could there possibly be illumination 24/7? So that's the next words of the pasuk according to the Malbim. It will be clear as day that this light is not a physical light; it is a spiritual life. Who you are, the Shula Hashem. She'oyroi miyuchus laHashem. The only way the lights can be on 24/7 naturally in this world is if Hashem is providing the light. because if it was from the sun and the moon, they cease to operate after 12 hours. V'lola shemesh v'yoreach u'mo'oyres. Rak bo'oyroi, only in Hashem's light near it are. V'al kein, therefore, yiyeh lo yoyim v'lalayla. Sheshmois yoyim v'layla yikru'u mitzad. These names then that are only recalled mitzad. He oras ha'or ha'gashmi shezoreach v'shokeach. Because the term yoyim v'layla is only associated with the sun and the moon. Aval ha'or shiyeh oz yiyeh or tamidi, a constant light. Bilti mishtane klo, that will never change. Lo yizoreach, it's not going to rise, v'shokeach and set. V'lo yitztiku olav shemois yoyim v'layla. Hashem's light that is constant does not have the same vernacular, the same word, the same vocabulary that is used to describe the sun, the moon, and the stars cannot be used in reference to Hashem's light. Now, here comes the next part. V'hoya, here's where it's getting really esoteric. V'hoya, le'es erev, yihi ye'or. It's going to be in the evening, there will be light. Now, this he's telling us means something very, it's not to be taken literally. This is the erev here means the end of days. Here he goes. Shehashemesh hagashmi te'erav. The sun will set, the tishka, the ball of the sun will go below the horizon, the oz, and then yaschil ho'or ho'ikari, a new light will rise, the light of Hashem, the primary light, l'ho'ir, to provide illumination, shehu or Hashem, and this illumination will be the or of Hashem. This last expression the Malbim says is not to be taken literally, but instead, v'hi militza nifla'a. This is a wondrous metaphor to describe what's going to occur in the times of Mashiach.
Does this refer back to the original order of Maaseh Bereishis?
Possibly. The or that Hashem put away in Geniza.
Yes.
The or Hagonus. Stimulia. That's what it seems refers to. This militza nifla'a. He doesn't use the word nifla very often in the Malbim. Sheyispatel, at this point in time, and this is what I was trying to tell you before, this idea. When Mashiach will come, it will cease to exist. Ha, he, ora, the illumination, the hashefa, and the influence. Hayoitse, that comes forth, me'ez hame'oirois, from the sun and the moon. And we're going to see in a moment, the negative. And he's saying something very shocking. He's saying that every single day when the sun rises and there's light in the sky, that light is poison. You don't get that. That's not a very common thing to hear from a Mefarish, to say that the rays of the sun are poisonous. Because we always say, you make brachos, Baruch atah Hashem, Yoytze Or, Uvarei Choshech, we're always praising Hashem for the beautiful sunlight, for photosynthesis. We're always praising Hashem regarding the blessing of art. The Malm over here is saying it's definitely true that there's a very great blessing in light, but there's also an element in that light that is poison. In the light that comes down to this world, there is evil. There is an evil element. How could that be? Who gave it evil? There's no such thing. Hashem does not create evil. We made it evil. How did we make the light evil? So he goes on to explain. At this point in time, the only one that will provide illumination will be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yanig v'yimshol b'shefa t'midis. Hashem will guide us and have influence upon us constantly. Bilti mishtaneh. Ad shelo yiyeh choshech v'tzoro kilol. Now again, now he comes back to the part that we said before. V'siluk hashefa. And it will cease to exist at this point in time, the influence, the ham o tosa, the error of the shemesh and the reach, k'moy shemuchroch behanhoga hativis, that has to come because of nature, haba that comes besibas, because of hamareches, because of the heavenly order, Sheheim oilim v'yordim, which goes up and goes down, and mechayvim shinuim toivim v'ro'im, which causes changes in this world that are good and bad. Ki oz yirak or v'toiv, when Mashiach will come, there will only be light and good, v'shona hatzlach, and peace and success. Okay, I read a lot more into this than he really says. I'm telling you from other sources, an idea, I'm just my mind is a bit challenged, telling you different things that I saw elsewhere. I'm trying to inject it into this thing, but it's not a contradiction at all. It's all part of the same idea. And what he's basically saying in a very simple level is that the fact that there's science, this is very simple. The fact that we have today science is a very great danger. Science today has caused many people to be misled that there is no God. Everything can be explained according to the laws of nature.
That's called scientism, the belief in science.
The belief in science. In ancient times, they did not know science. Science was so when you see...
it's whatever was observable.
So people saw things happening in this world. They got scared. They didn't understand why are things happening. So they right away began to attribute this to the supernatural.
Right.
Supernatural. And there has to be a God. And then they were misguided. Which God? Is it the God of the sun, the God of the moon, the God of this star, the God of that star? Because they were not knowledgeable in science. With, as the world matured and a greater understanding of nature became available to the common man, people then, when they saw some very catastrophic things happening in this world, or even very great blessing in this world, they were able to attribute it to science, the laws of nature. That became a very great form of apikorsis. That became a very great, when you were able to say, the reason why people died was because it's a natural sign, it's a natural event in this world. To take away HaKadosh Baruch Hu from this world through science became very, very popular. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
the reason for that is that science is produced by man's ability to analyze. And therefore, if you believe in science, that means you believe in the power of the rational man, is that's the main thing, which is self-worship.
The world became the people, mankind took HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of this world by explaining every event in this world through a natural order, through nature, the laws of nature. Therefore, the Pasuk says that when Mashiach will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put an end to science. The sun will set. The sun represents Dr. Fauci, the head, the head of all science. Okay, the sun is the Rosh HaYeshiva.
You said if you disagree with me, you disagree
with science. Okay. So the CDC is recognized as you know, the headquarters. He's the Rosh HaYeshiva of the world of science. And if you can attribute everything to science, let's say you can, let's say then you don't need the Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Mos HaMashiach will eliminate the rules of science. When the Shemesh and the Yoreach are the Rosh HaYeshiva of the world of science, and when they set, and when they leave the world stage, if there's no science, why then does the world continue to exist? Then there's no choice but to say it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to be. If there is no science, there is no science, it has to be only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the Pasuk here is saying. And if you want to go read into what's happening in this world today, we're getting a little teeny taste of this. Because like exactly what you just said, Dr. Fauci said that if you disagree with me, you disagree with science. I mean, it's almost a laughing stock. Every single day, the revelations again and again and again, over and over, is there is no science. Everything is hocus pocus. The rules change, everything is just politics. Pure, not everything, but to a very large degree, the revelations and the distrust of society has reached a very, very significant level. So what happens then? If you take away science, what are you left with? What are you left with? So many people in this country who don't have a strong religious background, they're devastated. They feel betrayed, they're lost. They're in a very, very, very vulnerable state. And people who are religious, who have strong background in Emun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what else is new? It's like, big deal, okay, what else? You told us the science, we listen, we take precautions, we do what he knows to do. It's hocus pocus, all right, so what else is new? The science was never ever by religious people the ikar. The science was a approach to dealing with life, taking precautions, doing what you're supposed to do, and if it turns out the science is all hocus pocus, okay, so the Ribbono Shel Olam is still here. Nothing has changed. Nothing really has changed. You don't see that the religious community is going berserk over a breakdown in faith in the government's approach to science. But in the amongst the Goyim, who don't have a strong background in religion, it's chaos. It's chaotic. It's chaotic, and everyone just digs deeper into their political beliefs. And it's very there's a lot of strife, a lot of fighting going on. Okay, that's the pasha. Then the other pasha I told you is the more Kabbalistic approach, and the Kabbalistic approach is every human being, we could as a mashal, a human being, as an infant, is vulnerable. If you brainwash a child, when he becomes an adult, he will become a monster. The fact is, the Shemesh and the Areach have been damaged. It doesn't seem like they've been damaged because the Shemesh and the Areach, you know, they're giving out light, but they have been damaged. How have they been damaged? Because this world is like a human being. And when this world was in its infancy, mankind worshipped the Shemesh, the Areach, and nature. Now the world has matured. And now the world is giving back to us what we gave to it. And it's the world has become, nature has become a monster to us because we worshipped it. And it takes on a life of its own. This is more esoteric, more Kabbalistic, but when you have emuna, and what Chazal say, that every living creature in this world has a spiritual counterpart, which makes decisions, has bechira to a degree, and has influence, and that includes the Shemesh, the Areach. The Shemesh and the Areach, it may very well be that it goes to work every single day, it never missed a day, 9 to 5, the sun, Mizrach HaShemesh Ad Mevo, the sun rises and the sun sets, it goes to work, but the Shemesh and the Areach also have influence over man. Although we may not actually feel it and sense it in a direct way, but the fact that the Shemesh and the Areach do provide to this world benefit, the sun provides light, the Areach provides magnetism, provides a magnetic pull, which is extremely relevant, extremely important for fruits. Chazal say that the Areach, the moon, has the koyach of the Areach has a direct effect on the production of fruits and vegetables. The Areach has a koyach of magnetism. It pulls things from the earth up. How is it that trees rise? How is it that the sap in the tree rises up? How is it that things go up? You're going against the rules of gravity. Everything in this world goes down. There is a koyach that pulls things up. That koyach, Chazal say, comes from the Areach. And scientifically it's true as well. You know that when the sun is in the 15th day of the month is when the tide is the highest. Hurricane Sandy was the perfect storm because it was on the 15th day of the month. It's when the tide is us. The Areach has a koyach of pulling up. The Shemesh pushes down. The Areach pushes up. Klal Yisrael, our calendar is based on the moon. The Umma Yisraelam, their calendar is based on the sun. The Umma Sa'olam they go down. They want to be pushed into the ground. Klal Yisrael, we focus on the moon. The moon is the koyach of pulling up. It's very subtle. But the koyach of spirituality is to go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to be pushed down. I was learning yesterday about slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. So you klap al chet. I don't know how this came up. So I don't know where this came from, but some people, when they, I don't know if it's a joke, it's not a joke, when we do, when you clap on your heart, your chest, we say, slach lanu, asham li bogani, goes on, what exactly are you doing? So in the Mechaber of the Sefer, he says, some people, what they're doing is, they have inside of them, they have a lot of sin. And they have now this year, or since the last time they got in Shimon Esrei, they've accumulated more sins. So there's no room. So they go, Ashamnu, they're saying, they're trying to squash all of the other sins inside to make room for more sins. Bogadnu, I have new Bogadnu, but there's no room inside of me. So you clap like this, to squash it in, to squash it in. Make room, guys. We have to fill up more Bogadnu. There's no social distancing over here. We gotta fashtup more sins. Is that how you say you clap? Or are you clapping, you're saying, get out. You give a clap, arois, get out of here. Yeah.
Rabbi, I'm struggling to understand something. Dealing with the beginning, with the time frame of the beginning of the second base of the
Kiddush. Yes.
At that time, the people were few in number, poor, struggling with enemies from outside.
Yes.
And here comes the Navi, and he's talking about a Kabbalistic esoteric.
Well, I'm reading this in. I'm reading this in here.
How did the people hear this?
They were very spiritual. They were the people. We have to believe. We don't really know, but we have an assumption that the people of this time were on a very, very exalted spiritual level. We don't really understand how what their lives were like. The Vilna Goyen says, just take this whatever it's worth. The Vilna Goyen, the Gros says, he was known as brilliant as. I mean, you read about the Vilna Goyen, you see what he wrote, you see what he accomplished. It's not to be believed. His mind was like none other, and he said that he appreciates what it must have been like, a little bit of a taste of what it must have been like to be a Tana. That's a pretty, for someone to say that, that's a pretty big statement. Okay, if someone today would say that, they would lock him up and put him in a mental institution to say that. But he had a taste of what it must have been like to be from the Tannoim, who lived about 2,000 years ago. But the Vilna Gaon continued, but I have absolutely no ability to appreciate the exalted level of spirituality of a water carrier living in the time of the Nevi'im. The lowest rung of society, the lowest social rung of society, living in the time of the prophets. Like the guy who walks in the street, who doesn't do anything. His level of spirituality, I can't even have any inkling, any appreciation of what was going through his mind. Is that, I mean, that speaks volumes. And that's the people that we're talking about over here. So these were very different people. And if the fact that it was written for us, it was preserved for us, obviously there's what for us to learn from it as well, on a very simple level, and a deeper level, and a Kabbalistic level, Ayin Panim Torah. Here, he's saying over here, these psukim as we start, Zechariah, from everything we've learned, there's nothing that comes to Zechariah. Zechariah is esoteric from beginning to end. Rashi said, the very first Rashi, here we have some of the most bizarre psukim we ever came across. When the days of Mashiach, there's no more sun, there's no more moon. There's the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We know what this means. Who are we fooling? We have no understanding what this means. The Maamar over here is telling us an idea. He's saying, on a very simple level, that the Shemesh and the Areach, science. There's something called
and
science.
And simple folks science, who yep. to the Nevi'im understood this and digested
yeah.
this.
Why not? Why not? If we can digest this on our level, on our symbol level, they can certainly digest this on their level, and certainly there are much greater secrets hidden in these words. But on a very simple level, he's saying something called science. And science is a wonderful, wonderful tool which we all benefit from enormously. And but yet it's very misleading, because zel umazeh bar elokim, with science comes the danger to attribute everything that happens to this world to a natural cause and to reject Hashem's influence, the principles of reward and punishment. Everything is just natural. Everything is science. And Hashem says that is a very great danger. And when Mashiach will come, science, the rules of science will be cancelled. And when they're cancelled, all you have left then is to explain how this world continues to exist is through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mashal, the metaphor, he calls it a mashal nifla'a, a wondrous mashal. The sun, the moon, the yoim and the laila, they are the Rosh HaYeshiva, the Mo'etzes Gedolei Yisrael of science. They are science. They are the CDC. This is the top of the top. And when the rules of science cease to operate and there is an acknowledgement that there is no science, then how do you make sense out of life? The only thing left is Hashem. What's the R? The R of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you dismiss science. Now, in those words, I try to embellish it with another idea, which is not mine, which is something I've seen, I found it very fascinating, like I said before, is that use a human being as a mashal. A human being, when he's a child, is vulnerable. If you brainwash a child, he will turn into a monster. If you brainwash him with false ideologies, he will turn into a monster. This world is one, is a living organism. The world was created 5,781 years according to our calculation. There was a sun. The sun was giving off light. But the sun has a spiritual counterpart which was vulnerable. And mankind brainwashed the sun in a very dangerous way by worshipping the sun, the moon, the stars, and telling the sun, moon, and stars that you are God. And now it has come back to haunt us. And now as we're living in this world, in a mature period of time in this world, towards the coming of Mashiach, the world is reaching a maturity, and the Shemesh, the Areach, is now become a monster for us. And it is influencing us in its behavior. You want to go talk about global warming? You want to go talk about natural disasters that are coming? There are physical realities which maybe can be explained according to the rules of science. And then there are obviously things which are beyond, which these are mystical things. And it's coming to harm us. It's a monster. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the time of Mashiach, will put an end to this. He will dismiss it. You are a politician that has to be removed from office because your policies and your ideas are not acceptable to the people. And I will have to go and retrain this world. It will be v'hoyel eserv yiyah, or it's only going to be a kadosh baruch hu. Okay, let's go further. Next pasuk. The next pasuk is v'hoyah is going to be bayamahu yetsu mayim chayim yirushalayim tzechil amar kiyah mokar niftach rak biyushalayim levad. First, it says it's going to be water coming from Yerushalayim. Aval acham milchama ho acharoina yisrabu hamayim ad sheyetsu lachutz v'yispashtu ad yom hamizrachi v'hamaravi. So he's making a point over here that it starts out only in Yerushalayim, but the benefit, the healing that will come from this water will be the spashe to the entire world. The entire world will be ill. In Yecheskel, it's much more clear that there's going to be a choili that is spread in the entire world, and this mayim will be the source of healing for the entire world. Meramez gamkein al hispashtus hamayim hamadoiyim the mei hadas. This means that from Yerushalayim will come forth what's called the mei hadas, the water of knowledge. From ki mitzioin, Teitze Soira Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. What is Torah? Hoy kol tzanei l'chulamayim. Eimayim elo Torah. Hoy kol tzanei l'chulamayim. Menachal amuna ha'amiti miyom ad yom minor ad afsi arts. Now, let me tell you an idea. What is the last pasuk we laid in Kriyas Yamsuf? Vayomer im shamoya tishma im shamoya im shamoya im shamoya im shamoya kol hanachala asher samti in Yitzrayim loy osim ki aliyah shem oifach. Anyone who gets the aliyah, there are some kehilas where they give, they makbid to give Kriyas Yamsuf, the shira, to a person who needs a refuah. Because at the end of Kriyas Yamsuf, Mishmoya Tishma Kolar, Hashem Shal Mishmart, Mishmart Mitzvesav, possibly goes on saying, you listen to Hashem, you observe all His commandments, then if you do everything that you're supposed to do, Kol HaMachla, Asher Samdim Hashem, Lo Yosem Noch Ki Ani Hashem, if I am your healer. Okay? A lot of the commentators ask the obvious question, what does a bracha for refuah have to do with Kriyas Yamsuf? It's a beautiful thing. Kol ha-machala she-samti v'mitshan lo-yosim o-mecha k'yani Hashem refecha. I mean, in Egypt, there were a lot of problems in Egypt. Egypt, we were slaves in Egypt. And we were persecuted in Egypt. And we suffered from a lot of things. What's this all about? All of the diseases that are found in the hospitals in Egypt, you don't have to have a department for that in Eretz. You come to Eretz Yisrael, there's no hospital. In Egypt, they have sophisticated hospitals for all different types of diseases. Not in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, there is no health industry. We don't need a minister of health. You can remove him from the cabinet. We don't need him from the Knesset. Who needs him? Because that's all in Egypt. What's going on over here? What's going on? So obviously the answer is, there's refuas hanefesh and refuas haguf. Klal Yisrael just came out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. They were damaged. They were obviously, their neshamos were damaged through the horrors of what they experienced, the Shibud. They are choylim. What do you mean they're choylim? They look pretty fit to me. No, they came out of Egypt. Most of Klal Yisrael, 600,000 people, 3 million people, they were all, I mean, I'm sure they were sick people, but obviously, in the fact they were able to get out of Egypt, they were healthy people. It doesn't say anywhere that they all were crippled, they all came out on hospital beds. It doesn't say that. Right, so people that were sick, there's always people that have illnesses, but it doesn't seem, you don't have any indication in Chaza anywhere that when they left Egypt, it was just all ambulances. Ambulances, right? The movie. Okay, the Exodus, they show in the Exodus a whole stream of 600,000 ambulances leaving Egypt. Kol ha-machla sh'asamdi v'mishayim lo yosim v'kiani yashem mefecha. I don't know, I didn't see that in the movie. I didn't see in the movie the ambulances. Whatever it was. So the answer is, even though they came out, they looked strong and muscular, they all worked out in the gym, they all were fit, they were spiritually very sick. They were all, the pasuk testifies, after being in Egypt for 210 years, even though you don't see the ambulances, they were all, in the spiritual world, very, very sick.
Yeah, because otherwise why would they all jump into the water?
It was called the Eras Haaretz. Egypt was the Las Vegas of the world. It was probably even worse.
They say that's the schus of Nadavan Aviru.
Yeah.
Nadavan Aviram.
Yeah.
That they were the two who left in Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
The Yamsuf. And they said, we also want to go there as Yisrael.
Yeah.
So the Yam opened the
split step for them.
They said, what, are we crazy to go in again? And the water will come down while we're in the middle.
But they went. They went. Hashem made a special.
They showed you how sick they were.
But Chazal obviously when they, but the fact that Pasuk mentions this, it's telling us, indeed, there was damage, and that damage now at the end of Kriyas Yamsuf, it's the last Pasuk of Kriyas Yamsuf is a new beginning of healing. which went all the way up until Matan Torah. At the Matan Torah, it says all the people that were sick were healed. What does that mean? It means that the very end of Kriyas Yamsuf is an acknowledgement: you're all very sick. The next step, 40 days later, it's less than 40 days, right now it's 37 days later, is Matan Torah, they were all healed. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim Yitzias Mitzrayim concluded with Kriyas Yamsuf. Now, it's like, it's a new cycle. What's the new goal? What's the new problem? The problem is you're sick. Now we have to heal you. The healing will be through Kabbalah Satara, because the healing is not necessarily just the healing of a physical healing, it is a spiritual sickness which needs to be healed. When they were slaves in Egypt, the issue was we're slaves. We are not free men. We have no chayus. The goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to free them from their captivity. Okay, now you're freed. Yitzias Mitzrayim is over. You're free men. Now, we have to begin now the beginning of the next cycle. What's the last pasuk of Kriyas Yamsuf? The last pasuk of Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, we finished Cheres, but you're all sick. Kol hamachla shesamti v'mitshan loy osim l'kiyari Hashem l'fecha. That's provided im shamoya tishma l'kol Hashem l'kecha v'shamarta kol chukov. Whatever the pasuk, kol mitzvah, what? What does Hashem say? Im shamoya tishma l'kol Hashem l'fecha v'yazamta l'mitzvah v'shamarta kol chukov. Then kol hamachla shesamti v'mitshan loy osim l'kiyari Hashem l'fecha. That's it's like, in my younger days, I used to watch television and some of the good shows, you have an episode and then you get to the end of the episode, salvation has come. And then the very last moment of an episode is a revelation of a new problem. And then to be continued, you have to wait until the sequel. Isn't that a very standard technique in entertainment?
Yeah.
You start off with a problem, a dancer, a plot, and the problem is solved. And the very last moment, that solution only opens up a new problem, and that you're going to have to wait until the next episode to see how that's going to be solved. That's exactly what happened in the story of the Exodus. We were slaves. So Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. It's over. Kriyas Yamsuf. Shvi Yishol Pesach. We're done. Miriam. Vatoshar Miriam. And then all of a sudden, the very last pasuk. Okay, we have a new problem. You may be free men, but you are spiritually very sick. Egypt has had enormous influence over your neshamos. You're not where you should be in the spiritual world, called Hamachla Shers. Now we have to work on that, and now we go to the next step. The next step is Matan Torah. That's the purity. Now, why am I telling you all this? When there was a recognition that there is an illness, that recognition was the culmination of the waters splitting and coming back together. The waters returning to its mekor. The waters split, Klal Yisrael passed through, and now the waters came back and drowned the Egyptians. In Yimos HaMashiach, we're also damaged from the influence of the Goyim has to have upon us in this world. And what is the end of days? Water comes out of the Kodesh HaKodashim and provides healing. It says this in Sefer Yechezkel. This water, the Yavoy B'yam HaGudis, everyone says the parallel what it says in Yoyel and in Yechezkel. And there when it talks about the waters coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and going to the east and to the west, it describes those waters as providing refuah to the entire world. Isn't that interesting? Kriyas Yamsuf, the beginning of Klal Yisrael's salvation, was through Kriyas Yamsuf. The end of our salvation and the end of days will come at the time of Mochemet's Goy Gemara. Kriyas Yamsuf. The end of our salvation is Mochemet's Goy Gemara. And then what happens after? A trickle of water, teeny trickle of water, comes from the Kodesh HaKadoshim and gets larger, 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 and splits. There's a split in here.
Into the east.
Half goes to the east, splits. Nochamo, splitting of the water. And what does that water go and do? It provides refuah, healing. Klal Yisrael parallel that to our beginning. Our beginning, we started from Mitzrayim. What's the salvation? The salvation is Kriyas Yamsuf. What happens? The water splits. We go through, and the water comes back. The water doesn't want to go anywhere. It wants to come back. And Hashem says to us, "You're very sick." There's an acknowledgement. In Egypt there are machlois, and if you want to be able to remove the machla, you have to work on yourself. Here, in Yimos HaMashiach, we're witnessing over here a Kriyas Yamsuf all over again. And this Kriyas Yamsuf starts out not as a massive, massive yam. The yam hagodol, right? The yam that splits the Klal Yisrael and then comes back. Here we saw the little trickle, which gets larger, 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 turns into a massive torrent, and then it splits. Kriyas Yamsuf all over again. But this Kriyas Yamsuf is not coming back, and this Kriyas Yamsuf is going to be, again, the same Kol Hamachalo, Asher Samti V'Mitzrayim, Lo Yosim Olach, Ki Ani Hashem Roifecha, not only for you, for the whole world. First Yerushalayim, it splits to the two sides. I'm trying to over here draw a parallel of a Kriyas Yamsuf. There's a Kriyas Yamsuf happening. Chetzim, what else does this mean? The water splits. Chetzim el hayom hakadmoni, the chetzim el yom ha'acharon, and it's not going to cease to exist. The chetzim kav yiyah, and match this up with the counterpart in Sefer Yecheskel, where it says there explicitly, and this water will trickle forth and provide refuah to the entire world. And what is this water? This water, okay, the Mechadas, all these ideas. This is the end. What was the beginning? A Kriyas Yamsuf. But that Kriyas Yamsuf was limited. It was limited to the time, to the moment. And the conclusion is, the Machala is still here. The Machala is in Egypt. It's still out there in the world. It's in you. And if you want to get rid of it, you got to work on it. It exists. Here, at the end of days, there's a Kriyas Yamsuf again. But this Kriyas Yamsuf, the end, is a total removal, obliteration, and my Kitach HaDibur is not too good, the obliteration of the Machla entirely. So I'm trying to bring out this point of this parallel, this good Choymer for Shvi Yishol Pesach, the Kriyas Yamsuf of Mitzrayim, with the conclusion of Kol HaMachla, and the Kriyas Yamsuf of Sefer Zechariah, which brings refuah to the entire world. And that makes this much more intriguing, because why is it more intriguing? Because this is the Haftorah for the first day of Pesach, not Shvi Yishol Pesach. The Haftorahs are always the counterpart. Haftorahs are always you filling you in on the other end, the other end. The beginning of the first day of Pesach, we read this Haftorah. We read these words. What are we reading about the first day of Pesach? About Kriyas Yamsuf. What do you mean? What do you mean? For Kriyas Yam Suf is Shmir Shel Pesach.
That's what you mean, Shalom.
What? Right. That's so shouldn't this be the Haftarah for Shmir Shel Pesach? No. Because what's going to be the end result of Kriyas of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Soif Maisa B'machshava, we've been through the cycle. We know what the end's going to be. Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, I want you to take my people out of Egypt. So what did Moshe say to Hashem? Shlach Nabi Atishlach. Am I going to be the goel acharoin? Is this going to be the end? No, Moshe, it's not.
It's the beginning.
Just the beginning. There's going to be a very long process. This will be just one step. And then there's going to be doros and doros and generations until you get to the very, very end. I don't want. I'm not interested. I'm not a maschil. I'm a goymer. Riviera. I'm a goymer. I'm a closer. I'm not a pitcher. I'm not going to start off. Hashem says, too bad. This is what you're going to do, whether you like it or not. But on the first day Pesach, keep your eye on the ball. This is the Haschalah. We now Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's the end? Not the end of this Pesach. Don't think about what you're going to be doing in Chol HaMoed and what you're going to be doing, which hotel you're going to be in Shmir Shel Pesach. Think about where you're going to be at the last Shmir Shel Pesach. And what's the last Shmir Shel Pesach? Zechariah. Milchemes Goy Gemogog. There's going to be a Kriyas Yam Suf. That Kriyas Yam Suf is the Gemar of Lo Yom V'lo Laila, the Ar Hashem, where the world, where the Yam will split. Half the water is going to go to the Mizrach, half to the Ma'arav. There's also there's a whole thing with the Kriya, the whole world, the whole earth splits, right? Everything, there's all this splitting going on over here. If you want to go get even deeper, the Amdu Hashem, Rabbi Yom V'lo Harazes, and what's going to happen? V'nifka, v'yiboku hamayim. The earth here is splitting. And what happens, by the way, in this, according to the Malbim, what happens in this Vinifka, Vayibako Hamayim? What happens in this valley? I think it was the Malbim says, that's where the trickle of water of the Kodesh HaKadoshim comes through. So, whereas by Matan, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Vayibako Hamayim, here it's Vayibako Ha'aretz. And where the earth splits is where the Mayim flows. And then the water splits into two directions, providing healing to the world. Can I get the end of Kol HaMachlash and Stavim Shem Loisim Lachim Yashem Rafecha? This obviously parallel. This obviously, what is happening at Tam Yitzias Mitzrayim is just a microcosm. It's just a teaser for what's going to happen at the end of days, when there's going to be another splitting. The splitting of the earth. And in that splitting of the earth will be a valley. And in that valley there's going to be a trickle of water which will become a mass of water. And that water will split permanently. And that water will provide with food to the whole world. Not like the splitting of the, here the earth didn't split, just the yam split. And the yam came back. And the end is, you want it with food. You want with food. Good luck. The Shemarta Kol Chukov, Yazantel and Mitzvoisov, the illness is very much alive in this world, in Mitzrayim. Kol HaMachlash Shesamti in Mitzrayim, it's all there. Nothing much has changed. But it's the Haschola of the ultimate, of the ultimate. There is a parallel between Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yam Suf to the Pasuk over here, especially when you appreciate what the Malm over here says. Okay, so this concludes this Pasuk test in the Malbim. Pasuk test goes on for a little bit, which we're not going to really have time for now. It's late, so we'll stop over here. Take a short break. After the break is over, I want to talk about Korach. Lamnatzeach. Livnei Korach Mizmar. We say in Rosh Hashanah, we say Lamnatzeach Mizmar Mizmar. And I want to talk about, there's another person who wrote a prayer. It's very similar to that Mizmar. Who's that? Yoshua bin Nun, Aleinu l'Shabeach. What exactly is the difference between Aleinu l'Shabeach and Lamnatzeach Livnei Korach Mizmar? Okay, we'll try to figure this out together. Analysis between the difference between the theme of what the children of Korach said when the earth swallowed them up right before they disappeared to what Yehoshua said. They both literally touch upon exactly the same theme. And both of them appear primarily on Rosh Hashanah. Before we blow to Kiyos, the Arizal was Mesachim, which is Selah Natsech, Lelekach Mizmor 7 times. And the primary location, the Seh Leinu, was established when? Only Rosh Hashanah. We say Leinu every day, 3 times a day, but really it was only meant to be said in Rosh Hashanah. So we'll talk about that in a few moments.